Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. Thanks for joining me this evening. We've got a show just jam-packed with goodies for you today. And by we, I mean me. So I have a show that is jam-packed with goodies, chosen especially for you. We have job search tales, poverty tales. I was going to say insurance tales, but that's more of a poverty tale. And I'm also going to speak a bit about the things that I was going to talk about last week, but I didn't because I, like in the first 15 seconds of the show, I veered off on a wild tangent that took up the remaining 29 minutes and 45 seconds. So I never got to talk about the pee bag, but I will indeed address that topic and many other interesting ones, hopefully, before we get out of here this evening. I'm a little bummed because my earbuds have failed. Doggone cheap Dollar General earbuds. Actually, only one half of them has failed. I am cell phone deaf in my right ear right now, unfortunately. But I can still hear the messages from Blog Talk in my left ear for as long as these earbuds hold out. Now I got to go back to my local neighborhood discount store and get another set of earbuds. But that's how we prime the local economy, isn't it? Prime the economy of wherever it is that they make the earbuds. So I'm going to try and snap out of my little mini funk that's put me in. It's just how that happens when something doesn't go smoothly. You know, my plugging the earbuds in and you just expect they're going to work. And then they don't work quite right. It's just, oh, you know, and then that's going to affect my whole show. The fact, because now I'm wondering, what happens if the left one goes out? Am I not going to be able to hear those important messages from Blog Talk? Or will I just sit here talking forever? Because the only important message I get from now until the end of the show is that the show is about to end. But Heaven Mayor, how many of you have ever given Blog Talk Radio a try? But if you like talking and not being certain at all that anyone is listening, Blog Talk might just be for you. It's easy to sign up for it. I understand. I've never actually done it. It's Chief Iggy who runs that part of it. But you need some neat little tools and get you started in your quasi broadcasting career. I'd like to put out a little. I don't like the fact that they put ads on the archived versions of the shows. If you ever listen to my shows, my old shows on the archives, you generally have to sit through an ad before it starts. And of course, I don't have anything to do with the ads. I don't pick the ads. None of us at WithInsightsRadio.com have anything to do with the Blog Talk money-making aspect of it. So please don't blame us. Because what I want to do is apologize, but I shouldn't apologize because I don't have anything to do with it. Money has to be made somehow. That's a rule of capitalism, and it's not, in and of itself, it's not a bad rule. The pump has to be primed in some way, and the good people at Blog Talk have thousands of these channels, just like our With Insights channel. People who would never get a chance to do certainly anything like this on commercial radio gives them a chance to get their message out to, you know, anybody who has a computer could potentially tune in. It's an exciting concept, and I'm certainly happy to be a part of it. So if you are so inclined, if you have something to say, give them a try. Why not? Just don't do this time slot because I'm trying to keep it clear. All right, so about that pee bag, that was just something silly that happened while I was in the library, and I was setting up the show. What happens is you got to get on the internet and tell Blog Talk that you're going to do a show at a certain time. It's going to last a certain amount of minutes, and they want you to give it a title and give it some keywords, and so people searching for things on the internet can find it, and so on and so forth. So I give it a title, and so I was trying to think of something, you know, clever to call it, because I like to give my shows at least quasi clever titles. And there, I saw at the circulation desk, there was a gentleman, and he was wearing a urine bag. And just not in a pouch, you know, no attempt made to cover it. There was his pee for all the world to see. And with these big, bold numbers on, you know, going up on a scale, which I'm assuming is he used it to measure the pee. You know, write that down and keep track of it. I know that there are several reasons, several circumstances in which you need to do that. But, I mean, I don't know why he felt everybody needed to know. Certainly, you know, it's cool that he's comfortable with it, but I really wasn't comfortable with it. So I put that in the title of the show. I said, when I get old, don't let him give me a pee bag, because I just don't think I can handle it. I see people with them, and I just don't think. I guess it's just one of those things you don't know until you're faced with the situation. I've never been catheterized in my life. And I'm getting to that point where I'm probably at some point in the next few years, if I don't stop drinking so much Pepsi, I'm probably going to be facing some sort of malady in which they're going to have to catheterize me. And I don't even like to think about that. I know I'm supposed to be, you know, I'm 50. I'm supposed to be going to get my first colonoscopy. They arranged that at my physical back in May. The doctor gave me a referral. And I was to make a phone call to these people and the colonoscopy people, and they were going to schedule me. And I just never did it. Just never did it because, you know, I'm scared. I was going to say scared shitless. How appropriate. I was scared to do it. So I went back for my physical here in October. And I didn't get that colonoscopy. I chickened out. I didn't do it. Well, and the doctor gave me another referral. And they're calling me. They just sent me a letter a couple of days ago to schedule your colonoscopy because, you know, I'm almost 51. I'll be a year behind. I don't know. I guess maybe I don't want to find out what they could potentially have to tell me, which, of course, is totally self-defeating. I don't know. Why should that? I mean, everybody tells me it's no big deal. It's not like it was. Maybe there's a little bit of phobia attached to when my father was going through those kind of things for his annual physicals back when he was a working man. And he'd come back with horror stories about the colonoscopy. I just don't want to do it. I need to do it. I should do it. I definitely should do it. But it's one of those things that's within my control to do it. And as long as it's within my control to do it, and I really have a lot of fear about doing it, it's probably not going to get done. And it's the same, the similar story about my root canal last year. Is that tooth had been bothering me for quite a long time, and it swelled up, and it was misery. And then having to wait a couple of weeks before I could get in to actually have anything done about it. And knowing that that was all my fault. The fact, not the fact that I needed a root canal, but the fact that it got so bad. And but finally that did get mostly taken care of. This is another thing I didn't want to. They want to put a crown on it, and the insurance won't cover the crown. So that's a conflict I don't want to have, so I just didn't go back. So I've got this root canal sitting, but there's nothing on top of it, which means it's probably ruined by now. But as long as it doesn't hurt, I don't care. I just have to make sure I dig all the food out of it so it doesn't start to decompose in a very interesting way. You know, dentistry and colonoscopy, two things not closely related, but closely related in my head as just things that I don't really want to participate in, I guess, unless I'm already in a lot of pain that needs to be eradicated. You know, I did on that one. I did the root canal. They recruited me to do a pain medicine study. It's kind of fun. They gave me mystery medicines in various colored bottles, various colored pills, and I had to write down when I took each one and how each of them did with the pain and this and that and the other thing. They paid me $100 for that. I was a useful citizen, volunteering myself as a guinea pig. And I had to, while I was waiting for the guy to do the root canal, and just pain, I mean, big pain, to the point where I'm actually looking forward to them hitting me with a Novocaine. You know, please do it. And I had to fill out the forms first for the study. And I'm trying to, it's one of those can't even think kind of agony. But that all happened. It was good. And my insurance people, my insurance here is called CareSource, and they are affiliated with Medicaid, which is an Obamacare production. Had all kinds of trouble. This is just, I was trying to get on to insurance at the same time as Obamacare was starting, and had a debacle with the computers, and I was right in the middle of that. And finally, I have to ask one of the people I work with at the counseling center, and as it turns out, they had a Medicaid expert, and they helped me navigate the thing, got me signed up, and they always did a nice job for me, until very recently, actually here in the last couple of days, I went in to get a prescription filled and found out I'm not on CareSource anymore. And, you know, nobody called me, nobody warned me, so I get back to the counseling center, finally get to my caseworker, and we got to get on the phone with CareSource and find out what the deal is. Turns out they had been sending my renewal materials to my old address, so naturally I never got them. And we had sent a change of address to Job and Family Services, which is where you apply for all these wonderful benefits. You apply, as it turns out, you apply through Job and Family Services, but they don't have anything to do with providing those benefits. Medicaid is a separate entity. So they take your application, this is JFS, takes your application and sends the information on to Medicaid, and then they're done. They don't have anything to do with it. So when I changed my address, this is my caseworker and myself, changed my address to JFS, assuming it was going to be changed with Medicaid as well because that's where we had applied. Turns out that's not the case. You got to talk to Medicaid separately. So now we know. But as a result of all this, I'm motoring around without any medical insurance. So I'm no longer a good citizen. I'm out of compliance. So we're working on getting that straightened out. But I said, in the meantime, no insurance. And in the meantime, I still have to buy my meds. So I went to do that. And I have two meds, and I've been on both of them for probably 8 years now. And one of them is my anti-sugar med, keeps my blood from getting too sweet. And the other one is my anti-crazy med, keeps me from getting too riled up, I guess. I think the main effect of it is it gives me about an extra half a second to consider whether what I'm about to do is really, really stupid. And it has helped in a vast majority of cases. Hold on, I'm going to sip of my fruit punch here. Much better. I was going to say Sunny Delight. That's not what it is. Crystal Light. That's what it was. Because Crystal from that old TV show used to advertise it. And I made it up just today. Fruit punch from Crystal Light. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. And I didn't get paid to say that. Although, if they would pay me to say that, I would be ecstatic because I'm trying to make the money. As I think I mentioned on the last show, the funds are all dried up, at least for the next month, and probably going into January, just because college is out of session. So there's no work. It's like the mill being closed back in the old day. The mill's closed. There's no work. You know, all the students have gone home. So I'm here trying to think of something else too. I actually applied for some things. That's been a sort of a mental block for me, just getting out there and applying for things because it's been so. I was doing a pretty good job of that for a long time, but rejection, 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 rejection. You sort of give up after a while, I guess. So I hadn't really done anything seriously for some time. But I got up the gumption to get a few things out there. Haven't heard anything back yet. But I did, this is interesting, I had heard from, I don't know, you'll have to tell me whether it's interesting or not. I think it's interesting. I heard from a tangential relative, a relative I don't know, was connected through my Uncle David, whom I do know. But she read, I guess she read one of my posts on Facebook about my job search. And she wrote me back, said, "Well, our company is hiring," and she sent me the email with all the various job listings. So I'm going to spend some quality time with that tomorrow. See what maybe I need to send back. I mean, obviously the drawback of that one will be that it's in a different big city in the Midwest, and I have to relocate. I'm not crazy about the idea of relocating, but I'm not crazy about poverty either. Maybe depending on what the job was. The city, the move would actually be further to the north. That I really don't like. I said, if I ever do move, I want to move to the southeast or the southwest, where it's warmer, although the drawback there, of course, is that they have southeast, they have flying cockroaches, and in the southwest, they have tarantulas and black widows. I had when I was getting ready to marry my second wife, we got married out there. Actually, we got married in Sedona, Arizona, and she was living in Phoenix at the time. And you just walk into the apartment, from being out to dinner or just outside walking or whatever, you'd walk into the apartment and there'd be some prehistoric monster crawling on the wall. It's just what they get out there. One of the advantages of these freezes we have here in the Midwest is it pretty much wipes out all that stuff once a year. So then you have a chance to grow that big. Remember a few years back we had a winter here where there wasn't any snow, where it barely ever got below freezing, and boy did we ever get it with the bugs the next spring and summer. Everything happens for the reason. Great Spirit is freezing our asses off for a reason. It's actually been fairly mild so far this year. No, really, nothing really chilly yet. So you probably don't like it chilly, but it needs to be chilly so we can freeze the bugs. It's just one of those. Follow the path. Follow nature's path. Don't complain. Or you can complain, just I guess maybe not be serious about it. I don't know. But in any case, so I did take care of the tea bag unfinished business. Not unfinished. I never actually started it last week. The other thing was this Shaman Tarot reading. I've been very remiss on these here lately. But I did pull a card. Actually, the card was probably pulled several weeks ago. I've just been saving it because I never really had a chance to do the reading. So I did want to share with you because I say in a very general way that the Shaman Tarot is very closely related to the traditional tarot. What it seems like the Creator has done is taken the traditional tarot and replaced the traditional symbols with pagan symbols. And he's done this in about 20 other ways too. There's lots of tarot sets he sells. But I wanted to share, for those of you who do know something about tarot, which is not me, I really don't, the four suits of the Shaman Tarot deck are the drums, bows, bones, and stones. The drums stand for the elements of the earth, and they correspond to pentangles in the traditional tarot. The bows are tied to the element of air, And that is tied to swords in traditional tarot. Bones are connected to fire, which correspond to wands. And stones go with the element of water, corresponding to cups. So now you know. But I had pulled the Ace of Drums. And the Ace of Drums is the drum of the dance. And the picture is dominated by a drum. There's two hands holding the drum and a striker in one hand. The drum, it's a flat drum, and it has strips of leather trailing off of it. And appears to be evergreen trees in the background. So that's that. The Ace of Drums, it says here in very, very small print, hard for 50-year-old guys to read. Life is vibration and movement. Mental, material affluence, health, the joy of existence, and sensuality. Let's go through that again, shall we? Life is vibration and movement. Material affluence, health, the joy of existence, and sensuality. So now all I have to do is remember what was going on 3 or 4 weeks ago when I pulled that card. But then again, the theory could also be that it waited for 3 or 4 weeks to be read because it was supposed to be read now and not then. I've been practicing my affirmations, and that kind of folds in with that idea. I was doing all those job applications I was talking about. I put some stuff in on Monday. And internet job applications are just the bane of my existence. It's very difficult for me to do them. Just it seems that there's an essential basic silliness to it, because you're just it seems like you're just repeating information that's is provided in the resume or in other places, or could be provided more easily. It's almost like this application is a hoop that's been provided for you to jump through, and I don't like hoops. I just want to get to a person so I can convince them that I would be the best person that they had ever hired. Gosh, I haven't interviewed for so long. I just have serious questions over whether I can actually hold down a 40-hour-a-week job, because it's about wasted me when I was doing it before and I was young. Now I'm 50 years old and I haven't done it in almost 10 years. The switch to the academic side, I was typically working a 20-hour week and then going to school the rest of the time, which, while it does require an application of effort, I didn't find it to be the same thing as working for a living. So there's apprehension there. And so you say, well, maybe you just stick with the way things are now, except, get a job at the Kroger or something and shelve stuff 10, 15 hours a week and depend. I've said this before. I don't consider that to be dishonorable work. I just think that I have more to offer. And maybe that's something like finally getting off of my butt and finishing that book. And my friend Two Crows has already published 2. I don't have any yet. It's an incredible sense of inertia. And this kind of flies in the face of that card that I pulled. He was talking about, vibration and movement and material affluence. It's like and even the sensuality part. I mean, when you live with, I guess it'd be like simple thing, simple forms of your sensuality, is like walking. Well, I'll take that back. Even things like walking in the woods, because I don't have a woods to walk in anymore. Finding sensuality in the city is is can be dangerous, actually. People make the wrong assumption, or a different assumption, not necessarily the wrong one. There are parts of this city where definitely you want to keep your sensuality in check. Where was I going with that? Was it going anywhere? I don't know. Let me get back to this card. I kind of wandered afield there, hoping that something I could say about the card would strike me. Noticing this picture of the drama, there are symbols recorded all the way around, which of course I can't read. But there's some sort of labeling or your recording of information that's going on with this drum. Just wonder if it's instructions on how. I don't know, it'd be kind of dumb to put instructions on how to use the drum, but how exactly it is that this drum is supposed to be. It's the drum of the dance. Maybe it's the dance. Maybe they've described the dance. It's like a bumblebee thing. Where the bee is a dance. Is the honeybee is a dance? Instructions for this dance that's connected in some way with material affluence. And sensuality. I'm sorry, I just don't know how to connect up this card with anything that's going on in my life. So maybe either, you know, it's just, it's a screw you because I didn't look at the card, read the card at the same time I pulled it. Or maybe the card is for someone else. And I'm just not perceiving who it is the card is supposed to be. Maybe it's someone out there who's listening to me right now, someone who will listen to the show on the archive next week or next month or next year or 10 years from now or 1,000 years from now. It could, the technology we have now has the power. Yeah, I know there were, my father was very much into technological toys when he was young. So this is like the 50s and the early 60s before he became a family man and had to give all that stuff up. He did. He was into film. He was into audio. And this has been a few years ago now, but you know, not all that long ago. I discovered some tapes, the reel-to-reel magnetic tapes that he had made. And it occurs to me this thing is, you know, for as long as there is still a machine that can read those tapes, my father's voice is still alive. Just like as long as there is a machine that can read celluloid, and as long as the celluloid record is cared for properly, we always have a record of, you know, a guy named Charlie Chaplin, even though he's been dead for more than 50 years anyway, long time. So there's a role of technology in perpetuating this. You know, I don't know for whom my words are intended, because it could be forever from now before it reaches who it's intended. I mean, I wish the show wasn't ending right now, because I'm actually getting into something that's fairly interesting. Let's come back to this topic next week. The role of technology in extending the words of the shaman. Thank you for joining me this evening. Do come back next week and do visit the show archive on Blog Talk Radio to hear old things I have said. And that's it for this evening. Thank you very much for joining me, and have a pleasant good evening.